This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Adam McManus, also with me, host of theworldview.com. Always appreciate Adam being with me. And lots of changes, lots of significant issues happening in America these days. We get a sense that the world is shaking. Heaven and earth is shaking so that that which cannot be shaken may remain. That principle comes back again and again to us. There's something rather revolutionary, something radical, something unsettling that is happening around us. Two things from the outset. Always remember, God is in control. God's work is happening. God is bringing about his purposes in human history. So do understand, things are never out of control because God is always in control. So let's remember that. The other passage that comes to me right now as we open up this edition of the program is a passage I was reading over the weekend, Ezekiel chapter 9. This was at the destruction of Jerusalem. And here the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, here it is, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. And to the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eye spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. What does that say to us? As we face the abominations of this nation, and this has been utterly horrendous, what we have experienced, Adam, in just the last 10 years, or go back to 1973 with Roe v. Wade. What we have seen around us is frightening, abominable, utterly despicable. It's been shocking. It's been a demonstration of the sin of a nation, our own sin, as well as the sin of others, the sin of our institutions. And what marks out those who were salvaged and those who experienced the judgment of God in Ezekiel chapter 9, it was that those who were salvaged would just mourn and weep. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. They mourned, they wept, they were pained by the abominations that were going on all around them. And that needs to be our disposition as we experience the unraveling of a civilization around us.
You know, one thing comes to mind as I think about the issue of the slaughter of the children in the womb since 1973. The latest stat is about 62 million. That is equivalent. I looked it up. I went through every single top city from New York City, number one, Los Angeles, number two, Chicago, number three, all the way down to Reno, Nevada and Buffalo, New York. It is the equivalent of wiping out every single man, woman, and child in the top 86 cities. Imagine what the headlines would be. Imagine what the news, how the news would cover it if 62 million Americans tomorrow morning were dead in the top 86 cities of this nation. That gives you a sense of the horror that this is and why it stinks in the nostrils of God.
I can't hardly imagine what the perspective of God is towards the abominations committed in these cities over the last, say, 40, 50 years. These all made in his image. God loves his creation. It was all very good, and yet is being desecrated by mass murder across this country and has since 1973. And I would say more than 63 million. I would say probably closer to 100 to 150 million if you include those who were killed by the IUD, the contraceptives that have a guaranteed abortifacient effect upon little ones in the womb. Well, friends, we're coming back to this nation and where we are today. The riots still happening. They took down the statues last year. Now they're taking down the heritage of the nation by removing the names of former presidents from the schools in San Francisco. The heritage is about done. The nation is about over. You take away a nation's history, you take away the nation. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Also, Adam McManus. Here's a Fox News story about what happened in San Francisco City. Apparently, here's the way that the Fox News story was framed. No one is safe. No one is safe. To the cancel culture going on right now, in a revolutionary culture, nobody's safe. Not even revered former presidents George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson are safe from cancel culture. That's what the Fox News story says. The American icons were among a list of historical figures whose names were removed from San Francisco's public schools following a 6-1 vote by the school board last week, according to multiple reports. Wow. Nobody's safe. They're taking down the former presidents. They're rewriting history. It's over.
That's right. And it's not just them. The presidents were among a long list of men and women whose namesake schools now will soon be renamed, according to the 6-1 vote. Others on the list, the evil Francis Scott Key, who dared to write the words to the national anthem, former presidents William McKinley, James Garfield, James Monroe, and Herbert Hoover, and listen to this evil name, Revolutionary War hero Paul Revere. Not to mention Robert Louis Stevenson, the author. What's interesting is that even the liberal African-American San Francisco mayor, London Breed, thought this was a waste of time and silly, and that the schools should focus on educating. This is interesting coming from a liberal like herself, but I agree with her, and I'm glad she's saying it to her credit. But it's not just them. They even are going after an elementary school named for current U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat, because she sinned back in 1986 when she was the San Francisco mayor, and she replaced a damaged Confederate flag outside of City Hall. Because of that sin, that elementary school is going to be renamed. However, this is not just, you know, a sleight of hand and we're going to change the website name for the elementary school. This is a serious cost. Replacing the signs at 44 schools will cost more than $400,000, and the price tag could go up to about $1 million when you think about the uniforms, repainting the gymnasium floors, and the districts in the face of this are already facing a budget deficit. So it is the latest Polaroid snapshot of misplaced priorities and the political correctness run awry.
It's not just repainting the floors and changing the signs either. This is deconstruction for an entire nation. I think people need to understand that the nation is in a suicidal mode right now. These people aren't just liberals. They're suicidal. And the nation is in a suicidal bent at this point. sort of like Jim Jones. They gather the community together. They say, let's drink the Kool-Aid. Let's destroy ourselves. Let's destroy the nation now. Let's undermine the foundations of a nation. And perhaps they want to rebuild a nation. The deconstruction of modern life, the postmodern deconstruction, intends to reconstruct, but it's hard to reconstruct when you've eliminated the foundations and you have no more material with which to build. And that's the issue right now. There's a focus upon deconstruction. At the entrance to the Department of Modern Art at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, there's a billboard that announces the institution's vision and mission. This is the Department of Modern Art at the University of British Columbia. And here's what's emblazoned upon the billboard as you walk in. There are the words, we are the destroyers. There it is. That's the mission. That's the vision.
Wow.
I don't think the mission or vision of the Western world right now could be put more succinctly than that. Please understand, my friends, the mission, the agenda is to destroy. That's what the liberals are doing. That's what they're committed to do. That's why the president of the United States is transgendering every bathroom in America right now, because, at least in the public schools, because the agenda is to destroy America and to destroy a civilization, a way of life, a human society. Now, they may not be epistemologically self-conscious of their motives and of their ends or their goals in mind. Some are, some aren't. Some are more honest than others. Obviously, the University of British Columbia is very honest. They've come to an epistemological self-consistency, a self-consciousness of what they intend to do. They want to destroy the Western world. That's what they're out to do.
Is that something that the administration themselves paid for, or is that some student group that did that?
No, that's the introduction to the Department of Modern Art at the university.
Incredible.
So, friends, this reminds me of two things. One is the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother.
Mm.
There is a generation that's pure in its own eyes, yet it's not washed from its filthiness. A generation, how lofty are their eyes. Their eyelids are lifted up. They're a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth. The San Francisco Public School Board is so much more pure than their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. We're just not worthy to be in the presence of the pure, the righteous, the just. You see, friends, this is Lenin and Stalin and Mao and Marx and Castro and Pol Pot.
Yes.
They were educated in European colleges. Revolutionaries always assuming the previous generation was evil. And they're so much more pure and so much more righteous and so much more full of social justice that we just can't stand it. Ooh, it just gives me the chills to think about how pure they're, these guys are. And oh, yeah, one more thing. They killed 500 million people in their revolutions. You know, pure. Pure in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the point here is nobody's safe. Dianne Feinstein made a mistake back in 1986, as you mentioned, Adam. She made a mistake back in 1986. You know, during the French Revolution, she would have probably met the guillotine for that. Today, she's just canceled. She just gets canceled.
She's not liberal enough.
But in the French Revolution, nobody was safe. You know, Robespierre was the dictator, you know, he was the guy on top. And how many people did he have guillotined? Tens of thousands. And then he gets it himself at the end, right? So nobody's safe in this culture. Nobody's safe in a revolutionary culture.
We need to underscore how horrific it is for the leaders of America to undermine the foundations of America. Without a solid, strong foundation, the entire house will collapse.
Wow.
As you said,
wow.
It is suicidal. Yeah. And as you mentioned the name Jim Jones, I think back on at least one movie and several documentaries that were just horrifying to watch as these people were taking the suicide juice of sorts and dying painful deaths because of Jim Jones' insanity. But now we have the insanity of the cultural leaders who think they know best, and yet they're doing the worst to bring America down a country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and on a biblical ethic.
Mike Huckabee, the former governor in the state of Arkansas. And by the way, I was in Mike Huckabee's triple wide.
What? When was that?
Yeah. He was literally living when he was governor of Arkansas. I was there, and I was invited with the group of Team Pack students that we were with at the time. I was invited into his home, and he lived in a triple wide.
To save the taxpayer expense, I imagine.
Yeah, so anyway, just a little piece of trivia there. But Mike Huckabee, just a few months ago, said if a culture or a civilization doesn't understand, know, or even care about its history, it's going to be a civilization that's lost, confused, and living in chaos, which is where we are headed. That's recent opining on the part of Mike Huckabee, former governor of the state of Arkansas. It's just not a wise idea for a society to cut its roots with a gigantic chainsaw. It just doesn't end well. It didn't end well with the Soviet Union and French Revolution. Here's George Orwell as well. I think this came from 1984. This is George Orwell. Every record has been destroyed or falsified. This has to do with the story of 1984 and the horrific dystopia that he presented. But he said every record has been destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue, street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, and the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right.
Wow.
Does that sound like San Francisco,
wow,
the city council in San Francisco?
Yes, from today's headlines. Incredible.
Pretty much.
That is remarkable. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. That's a biblical concept, and it's certainly being borne out in the headlines that we're reading from Fox News' No One Safe and how it is eerily in step with exactly what George Orwell painted in the 1984 novel.
As we wrap up this segment of the program, Adam, I want to encourage, equip, provide something of a blueprint by which our listening audience can consider the past. Yes, we judge what happened in the past. I think we do make judgments. Now, we've talked about this in several recent programs, but I want to be a little more concise and succinct in bringing out a formula for making judgments concerning the past. We simply cannot be dishonoring our fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. We need to be honest first with our own sins. Jesus says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." That is the same judgment you use for others. It shall be meted to you again. So judge yourself first. Now, that means we don't completely abandon the making of judgments concerning what's going on in the present, the past, or what will happen in the future. We do make some judgments. But first and foremost, we need to take the log out of our own eye before we make any comment concerning the speck or the log in our brother's eye. And again, these are the biblical principles relating to judgments, and the same thing applies as we consider the sins of the fathers, the grandfathers, the great-grandfathers who've gone before us. We need to first and foremost be honest with our own sins. We're sinners too. All we do, of course, is murder 7 million babies a year, which amounts to about 150 million babies since 1973. That's all we do. And we do get a little upset with Lincoln's generals who are involved in several Native American massacres, including the Sand Creek Massacre down here in Colorado. I don't appreciate Andrew Jackson's Trail of Tears, although I do appreciate Pastor Samuel Worcester, who went to jail for 4 years trying to defend the Cherokee and the Creek down in Georgia. So, but again, we're killing 7 million babies a year, and we get all upset over Lincoln's generals and what they did to, 150 Native Americans in 1885. Now, we should be upset with ourselves, and I think we should be upset with Lincoln's generals and others who perhaps have done ungodly things in the history of the world. But the point being that we're all sinners, and we have to be careful. Our country kills 7 million babies a year, and we have hardly been washed from our own filthiness. This is Proverbs 30 again. So first and foremost, let's consider our own sins, humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, confess our own sins, and then we might have some time to consider the sins of others. But are we any better sinners than those who have gone before us? No way. No way. Not even close. Not even close. As Americans, we're in some of the worst situation we've ever been in the history of this country in terms of the shedding of innocent blood and the massive sexual perversions that we are countenancing as a country. Remember, the reason why God destroys nations is not over whether there was enough speed bumps in the parking lot or whether we had enough drug laws in place. No. Or whether their immigration laws were proper or not. No, these are the secondary issues. The major issues is that our hands are full of blood. It's the shedding of the innocent blood of millions upon millions of babies that would bring the judgment of Almighty God down upon us. It was sexual perversion that brought God's judgment down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, as well as the Canaanites. Just check out Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20. So, friends, consider that there are some sins that are more egregious in the sight of God than others. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for straining at gnats and swallowing camels. They tithed of their mint, anise, and cumin, but neglected the weightier matters of the law. And so we have an obligation to consider the camels and the gnats when it comes to the sins of the fathers versus the sins of the present day. So, friends, these are the things to consider as we make judgments in history. Remember that we need to be careful not to judge others when we have not judged ourselves first, but always apply the law of God in these things. We need to be equitable in our judgments. That is, we're not to be a respecter of persons. That is, if you know there are Native Americans who were slaughtering the whites or slaughtering other tribes during the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries, we need to point out those sins as well. If there were Aztec Indians that were committing human sacrifice by the tens of thousands in the 1400s and 1500s, and these temples were just covered with blood, and the priest class of the Aztecs were sodomites and such, we need to point these things out. Of course, God brought an end to these civilizations as well. But at the same time, we're not going to exempt ourselves when we consider the perversions and the murder that's done and approved by our political institutions in this country in the 20th and 21st century. So we need to be equitable. We need to apply God's law to this civilization as well as that civilization. And it's very important in our judgments that we not be a respecter of persons either. So these are the principles that we apply as we consider history and the sins of the fathers and the grandfathers. Well, my friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. I would encourage you to our treatment of world history. We certainly go into the tribes of the nations. We go into the sins of the fathers and grandfathers and apply God's word and also celebrate the advance of Jesus's kingdom and the work of missionaries throughout. We do that in America in God's providence. We do that. We consider the missionary work extensively in America in God's providence in the North American continent. And also we do the very same thing, but do it in for every tribe and nation, for every continent around America in our taking the world for Jesus. And that's our course for ninth grade history, but it's certainly a great read aloud. I read it aloud to my family, and it was one of the most exciting books I have ever read to my children, just simply because it was a compendium of all the fantastic stories of what God's people have done in bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe and nation around the world over a period of 2,000 years. So I'd encourage you to give your children an optimistic 2,000-year view of what has happened in the kingdom of God since Jesus rose from the dead and gave us that great commission. So that is taking the world for Jesus. And do remember that we are releasing basically a first through fifth grade presentation of Jesus's work on every continent through our social studies and history courses as part of the Christian discipleship curriculum. That's all coming out in the next week or two. You'll be able to order it within the next week or two, and then you'll be able to bring this to your children, apply this this wonderful Christ-centered biblical worldview-based curriculum for history and social sciences to your children's academics for the next school year. So again, that's going to be released, at least for order, within the next week or two at generations.org. So our 1st through 12th grade curriculum, that is history curriculum, science curriculum, and literature curriculum, will be available at generations.org for 1st through 12th grade within a week or two at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.